Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Somehow God is in me, and there's a sense in which I am like God and man all at once.
Many religions claim that we will all eventually be gods. The Bible says something so much better. It says, no, God will continue to be God. Man will continue to be man, but God will come upon man.
No way!
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
This is Wretched Radio with dueling marriages. That's right. There are two types of marriages. Okay, there's probably more than that. Yes, I'm going to let this play the entire time I talk. It's Glenn Campbell, Picking and a Grin in 1973. It's live. I got to tell you, I got a soft spot for Glenn Campbell music. I don't know what it is, but for some reason, and even his Christian music was pretty good. He did a number of albums, seemed to be a pretty tortured fellow. Nevertheless, dude could play the guitar. Wow. Oh, man. All right. Confession. Friel, we didn't ask for one. I'm giving it to you anyway. Sometimes I'll fall down a rabbit hole of watching these videos where younger people will listen to music of people who are older or dead for the first time to see what these old people are up to. And I once fell into a Glenn Campbell rabbit hole. I don't know why, but I did. And all of these young people were like, who is this guy? I mean, he's doing that without auto-tune and he's singing at the same time. It's amazing. Yeah, there was an era of music before electronics and computers kicked in. But I digress from our dueling marriages. There is a video that went viral about a few weeks ago. Grabbed it, held on to it. And I thought about sharing it because I thought it was a perfect demonstration of the narcissistic videos that are on the internet right now. If you recall, a couple of weeks ago here on Wretched Radio, shared a number of videos by psychologists. These are life counselors who want you to identify your spouse's narcissism or the narcissism in your friends or family so that you can, and I'm not just grabbing a hyperbolic word, so you can torture them. That's the videos literally. How to torture the narcissist. It's like, hey, wait a second. I thought Obama got rid of all of that torturing business. These were videos that expanded the definition of what it means to be a narcissist because anybody who exhibits any sort of selfishness, any sort of pride, or even any sort of preference, like, you know, honey, I don't think I do want to eat at Chick-fil-A again, which I know no true Christian would ever say. The point is, anything that ruffles your feathers would be considered the words or actions of a narcissist. And here's how you get back at them. And I thought, would like to share this video of this woman because this is an example of somebody who I think has fallen for that narrative that her spouse, while being a really good guy, a really good fellow, nevertheless, I thought about divorcing him. Why? Well, you're going to hear why. And I thought, I wonder how much she's been indoctrinated into this narcissistic terrorism movement that is going on the internet. But I didn't do it at the time. But now we're going to. Why? Because you're going to hear dueling marriages. If you aren't listening to the podcast of Brad Bigney, seriously, you are missing a Class A broadcast. It is as good of a talk radio or podcast as you're going to find. This guy is good, and this guy is vulnerable. He's willing to share what it was like in his early years of being married. And you don't have to imagine the details, but it sounds like it was pretty hard. But they learned something in it. They learned that marriage isn't about smooth sailing and everything being perfect in my life, like we are told everything needs to be. Otherwise, everybody's a narcissist and you need to torture them. On the other hand, this woman has a different approach to marriage. Let's listen to Dueling Marriages, shall we?
I've been with my husband for almost 20 years, but about 3 years ago, I was strongly considering divorce, and I want to talk to you about why. So I'm going to tell you the story of the day where I thought to myself, maybe I don't want to do this anymore.
That language. I don't want to do this anymore. Well, there's a lot of things I don't want to do anymore, but you do them because, you know, you've made a vow.
And I had four kids. We both worked full time. We had been together for 16 years at this point.
You should have had things worked out, you would think. Four kids, 16 years.
Been together since high school. And on paper, I have an amazing husband.
On paper, he's amazing. Huh. Well, if he's amazing on paper, what is he like to live with? Well, the answer is, it appears that sometimes work conflicts with the peace and the harmony that she wants inside of the home.
He is incredibly supportive. He's kind. He's loyal. He's a great dad. He's very hands-on. He's
I want to marry the dude. He sounds amazing to me. And yet,
an active participant. He's always present. Like, on paper, what else could I ask for?
Huh. That's a great question.
But in reality, my experience is very similar to the experience of other women. I had this amazing husband who on paper was great, but I was incredibly frustrated and burnt out from our marriage and from motherhood.
As if somehow saying on paper dismisses the reality that this guy appears to be a decent fellow. Perfect, I'm sure not, but just a hardworking guy. If I recall, a blue-collar fellow who was like the Wichita lineman. Hey. That's another Glenn Campbell song. And yet she's feeling burnt out, which I won't even argue with. Being a mother and working, I know the world tells you, you can have it all, baby. But I can imagine that she would be totally burned out.
Because what happens to so many of us is that we marry these amazing men and we have amazing relationships and then we have kids.
Amazing. Three times amazing, this guy.
And when we have kids, women tend to carry a disproportionate amount of the work in the home, the work of raising kids, and the mental load. And that is exactly what happened to us.
The mental load. I don't know exactly what that is for sure. And I won't even argue with this woman. But so here's the dilemma for them. She's working. By the way, she has time to get pretty gussied up to make this video. Apparently she's trying to be a social media influencer, has time for that. So she's got four kids working, trying to be a social media influencer. Something's got to give, I guess. And the answer is, what's going to give? Her response, my husband.
About 3 months after my fourth baby was born, I remember looking at my husband and saying, I need more. I need you to do more. I am exhausted. I am in charge of everyone and everything in this house. Every night when we cook dinner, you ask me what to make.
That's not uncommon. I won't even argue with that. And I'm not saying the guy didn't need to make a course correction. That's not what's motivating this. And it's not moving the marriage towards something better. Her solution to being frazzled was simply a distribution of duties. And honestly, that might have been the simplest way to solve whatever it is that is causing her to be burned out. Maybe it is. The guy just needed to step it up. As you listen to this, you kind of get the sense he was stepping it up. But even so, that wasn't enough either.
Every day when you drop off the kids at daycare, you ask me what they need in their backpacks. I am the project manager of this home and I need you to do more. And he looked at me and he said, okay, just tell me what to do. Right? Every woman has heard this. Just tell me what to do and I'll do it.
Okay, I know I'm a guy, but that's what I would say.
I mean,
something ain't getting done. You want me to do? What do you want me to do? Oh, you're just a typical male.
And I said, okay, you know, something that would make my life easier is if in the mornings when I came downstairs with the four kids, because I do mornings by myself, the dishwasher was emptied, the dishes were put away, and the trash was taken out. That would make my life so much easier because when I've got the four kids running around and the baby crying, I can't be looking for their favorite water bottle in the dishwasher. I just need to know it's clean. And he said, yeah, of course. What? Yeah, I'll do that. That's no problem. And so of course he does it, but then I have to remind him and then he forgets. And then I have to remind him again. And there was this one morning where I woke up
and decided enough because he hadn't taken out the trash. Dueling marriages.
Oh, when most people think about marriage, they think about dreams, they think about hopes, they think about expectations and wonderful moments. But most people would not think of, oh, I'm going to be exposed, revealed. Things about me will be pushed to the surface. And oh, this will be an excellent opportunity to grow.
Real! Just play the YouTube video, Dueling Marriages. One has a view of marriage that says, I need things to be balanced, easy, organized, fair, and maybe even perfectly tranquil. The other view says, that ain't what marriage is about. Next on Wretched Radio.
Truth. It's meant to travel far. It's meant to reach deep. It's meant to change lives. But for far too long, even the best biblical teaching has faced barriers, paywalls, price tags, limited access. And at Fortis Institute, well, we've been thinking differently recently. What if we could break through all of those barriers? That's why we're launching our Truth Unhindered initiative. We have extraordinary plans for the end of 2025, plans that will transform how pastors and families and seekers access life-changing teaching. But to make this vision a reality, we need you now more than ever. Right now, going on through June 30th, every dollar you give will be doubled up to $250,000. Double the impact, double the reach, double the transformation. Visit fortisinstitute.org/truth today because when truth breaks through barriers, lives are never the same. fortisinstitute.org/truth.
Perhaps you've been wondering, is there a Christian university that isn't woke? Or that hasn't compromised on important biblical doctrines like, you know, the age of the earth? There is. It's the Masters University in Southern California. Beautiful campus. All of the athletics and activities that you've come to expect from universities. But it's more than that. The academic programs are most excellent, preparing students for the future. The Washington Post just said, number six for preparing students for the real world. All that. Plus, the Masters University isn't woke, and it is thoroughly biblical. Would you like to learn more? I encourage you to visit the Masters University at masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
Thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. You know, a dollar today doesn't go near as far as it used to. It might buy you a soft drink, but what if your dollars could multiply? For 25 years, our gospel partners have been watching their giving multiply. Every month, their faithful support transforms into college campus evangelism, biblical counseling, marriage restoration, and gospel proclamation across the globe. And when you become an ongoing monthly gospel partner, understand this. You're not just giving money. You're preaching the gospel to a student at Georgia Tech. You're discipling the young man struggling with pornography. And you're equipping a pastor in a small rural church. And the work, it's nowhere near finished. The fields are white for harvest, and your monthly partnership makes it all possible. Join us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner right now by visiting fortisinstitute.org. That's fortisinstitute.org, because when faithful people give faithfully, the gospel advances powerfully. Wretched, amazing grace, amazing gospel.
Know your church fathers. Justin Martyr was a second century apologist who was converted after seeing the courage and devotion of Christian martyrs. He earned his surname when he was executed for his faith. When asked to renounce his faith, he responded, "No one in their right mind turns from true belief to false belief." This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
If only we had trioing banjos. This is Wretched Radio. Dueling banjos ain't getting the job done. Why? Because you are hearing, I think, three threads being woven together in two videos that we are comparing and contrasting. One is a TikTok video of a woman who's explaining why 3 years ago she almost divorced her husband of 16 years, who, her words, was an amazing guy. In fact, she used the word amazing like five times. But not in reality. What led her to desire a divorce from this amazing man?
There was this one morning where I woke up and I went to put something in the trash and it was overflowing. And I went to get my son's water bottle and it was in the dishwasher with all the other clean dishes. And I felt so disrespected and unseen and unvalued at that point in time.
Now, what caused the husband to neglect his honey-do list?
I remember texting my husband being like, what happened? Like, why didn't you do this? And he said, sorry, I was running late for work.
Wow! That's an undervaluing jerk. You mean maybe he had an excuse because he had to get to a job? Otherwise, you get written up and then you get two more warnings and then you get fired and then you can't feed your four children. How dare he? Undervalued, under whatever the modern therapeutic language is that she's using. The first thread, I think, it sounds like this is a woman who is very, very typical. That they have been told, and men too, by the way. So if this were a dude, I'd be saying that my wife, she's amazing on paper. She's amazing. In fact, I wonder what it would be like if a guy did a video like this. I'll bet he'd be pilloried on TikTok. My wife is amazing, but she overcooked my omelet. I had felt so undervalued and so disrespected. It would be preposterous. Nevertheless, I think that this woman, like so many people, and it's I think perhaps it's more Gen Z, millennial, but frankly, it infects all of us because the world screams, you're the center of everything. You're the one that the entire universe revolves around. And she feels now, because her husband didn't do what would make her happy, she's undervalued, disrespected, etc. Now, I think that's one of our threads. That one of the threads is everything has to be perfect for me, because if I'm not happy, then I've got to get out of this relationship with this toxic person, albeit one who's amazing on paper. The second thread I think that comes from this woman is her understanding of what marriage is supposed to be. She thinks that it is supposed to be just this lovely, wonderful relationship that fires on all cylinders. But then you get married and what happens? You discover, whoa, some of them cylinders need replacing. Some of those cylinders, they need a tune-up. Okay, look, I don't want to get all mechanical on you, but the engine ain't running right. Why? Because you got two sinners. What's the third thread? The third thread would be Brad Bigney, whose podcast titled Thrive, I'm telling you, it is a must listen.
Marriage was designed to expose us and help us grow spiritually to become more like Christ.
Me! Marriage is about me! Jimmy, I don't mean to air this publicly because Mrs. Friel on paper, she's amazing. That would be so helpful. If she could just pull her blankets back over the bed. So in the morning when I lay out my clothes and, you know, throw them on the bed, they don't get put into a pile. And the other morning she didn't do it. I feel so disrespected.
And so in a very real way, marriage is not a stopping point. Too often in our culture, it's all about the wedding. We are moving towards the wedding, and here's the save the date card, and then here's the wedding, and there's the honeymoon, and there's all the preparations, but no one thinks hardly at all about, and when you get home from the honeymoon and unpack, now what? That's exactly the starting point for real work that is going to be required to become more like Christ. And so let me ask you, Vicky, did this come as a shock to you What else would you say to the wife out there who is experiencing some shock that I didn't really come into this thinking I was going to be exposed, rattled, shattered, and going to need to grow?
Vicky doesn't always join him, but for this series, why, when marriage feels harder than you think it should be, so transparent, so helpful, so honest, so life-changing. Where do you podcast? Thrive. Brad Bigney.
Thanks. Kind of as you said earlier, I didn't really think I'd have to work at our marriage. I thought it would just be great and I'd be so happy. And once when that didn't happen, then we really did have to start working on our marriage. There's a guy in our small group and he has this saying, God, you show me the way and I'll do the work. And he's not kidding about that work part. And it's really true of our marriage because God will show you the way. And once again, as believers, we have to keep coming back to God's blueprint. Thank goodness we have the Bible that does give us instruction, that does give us help. But that has to be our foundation. But it does take work. And to encourage you, the older we've gotten, the longer we've been married, we still get on different pages and we get our wires crossed.
Isn't that refreshing? It can happen. But I was pondering why that happens. You had a long day. You didn't eat very well. You don't have the calorie. You're running low. You're on energy. The traffic was a nightmare, which we can say every day in Atlanta. And just or one of the kids didn't do the and so you just feel a little less than full. And then your spouse says or does something and it's like those things still happen after you've been married for decades. But if you've been putting in the work, recognizing what marriage is, guess what? You work through those things a whole lot faster.
But to encourage you, it doesn't happen as often and we don't stay in a bad place as long. Right. We much more quickly have tools to help us along the way.
What do you think is some of the biggest hindrance or disconnect when you hear marriage and you hear work? Why do you think people are so put off with that? And how do you think perhaps even some people might think, well, if you're in love, it shouldn't be work. It should just be there. Yep. That's the whole point. If it's a bunch of work, you didn't marry the right person. What would you say back to someone who's thinking that way?
I'd say that was a great question, Brad. He's basically asking his wife questions. And he's really asking, I think, the question that reflects the mindset of so many people who get married. That if this woman, she doesn't pull the blankets back in the morning, whatever it is. He didn't empty the garbage that morning. And you get furious and you blow up. Why? Because your expectation is that it should be perfect. But when your expectation is, no, this is going to be an opportunity for me to grow, to become a different human being, then the trajectory of your marriage is set to just a different direction. And over the years, you'll just get better and better and better at dealing with the little things that come up.
Marriage and work, those two words don't go together.
Right. I think in my mind, I thought based on perhaps our culture, my own sinful flesh, just, wow, you marry the right person. You do the hard work of choosing the right person. This is just going to work. It's all going to flow. We're not going to get upset with each other. It's just going to be so glorious. In our culture, it's almost just like, you'll have these feelings. It'll be wonderful. We'll just move on.
So that's some of it right there.
Right.
Would you not agree?
Definitely.
Too often, most people believe that marriage is comprised of being in love. And that is a feeling. And they do not think in terms of feelings have anything to do with work. It's either there or it's not.
Right. And it can come and go.
Don't hear what we're not saying. Yes, thank God for glorious feelings in marriage. But marriage is comprised of far more than feelings. And that's what people don't understand. I like what you said, that guy in our small group. God, you show me the way and I'll do the work. And he wasn't kidding about that work. And it's true in marriage. God shows us the way in his word. But it is work.
And that is a work that most people don't want to put in, including this young lady. I'm sure she tries in other areas. But when you make a TikTok video expressing how your husband needed to change, and this is where you can fall into a ditch. Sometimes husbands need to change. No, all the time husbands need to change. And so do wives. That's the point. And when you see a failure or an imbalance in your home, You approach it with a different motive. And I think that that's what is so glaring about the distinction between this TikTok woman and Brad and Vicky. That they have been, and they admit it, even in this particular episode of Thrive, they admit throughout the year, hey, they've had so, in fact, it was so bad at the beginning of their marriage. She literally said, I don't love you anymore. Whoa. Why? Because he wasn't making her happy. Now, that doesn't mean he didn't need to adjust, but it does mean that she needs to see him differently. And she too needs to adjust and responds to shortcomings, not by threatening divorce after 16 years, but by helping the other spouse grow in godliness. You could not have two more distinct views of marriage. Question: what does your marriage look like? This is Wretched Radio.
And it's now time for your Fortis News Break, a production of Fortis Institute. Well, the Education Department has launched an investigation into UC Berkeley for failing to report hundreds of millions of dollars in foreign funding, particularly from China. While the university insists it's been cooperating with federal inquiries, the saga does reveal once again how our elite academic institutions seem more committed to foreign interests than American ones. Speaking of institutions saying one thing while doing another, the Association of American Medical Colleges, which administers the MCAT exam, is playing a shell game with its diversity agenda. While publicly scrubbing DEI language from its website after facing criticism, an insider has told the Daily Wire that leadership is privately assuring staff they remain very much committed to DEI. Internal documents show the organization simply advising employees to avoid polarizing terms like system of oppression and birthing people while continuing the same ideology. Work. On the international front, Ukrainian President Zelensky told Ben Shapiro that he's absolutely open to auditing how U.S. aid is being spent in his country. The Government Accountability Office confirmed significant oversight gaps, noting that our State Department lacks a comprehensive approach to track economic assistance. It's just remarkable. After years of blank checks, basic accountability is now just being considered. Don't you think something should have been established on day one? CNN is in the news as their rating collapse continues, with primetime viewership dropping to just below 500,000 viewers last week, while the demographic that advertisers actually care about, adults 25-54, never broke 100,000 for any primetime show. Well, a disturbing case from Disney World reminds us that personal vendettas quickly become public dangers. A disgruntled former menu production manager was sentenced to 3 years in prison after hacking into Disney's system to remove food allergen warnings and replace wine region listings with references to mass shooting locations. Those reckless actions could have endangered lives of children with severe allergies had Disney not caught the sabotage before menus actually reached customers. In North Dakota, Republican Governor Kelly Armstrong has vetoed legislation that would have protected children from sexually explicit materials in school libraries, calling it a misguided attempt to legislate morality. The bill, which passed both Republican-dominated chambers, would have given parents greater ability to challenge inappropriate books, but Armstrong bizarrely claimed that in today's media-saturated world where profanity, drug use, violence, and nudity are harder to avoid than to find, protecting children from explicit content in schools isn't even worth the effort. That wraps up today's Fortis News Break. I'm Jimmy Hicks. If you want more, you can download Fortis Plus or sign up to become a Fortis Insider for exclusive daily content. You can do both at fortisinstitute.org. And don't forget, also, you can subscribe to Fortis News on your favorite podcast app in order to get these updates daily. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.
Important dates in Christian history. 1727. A spiritual awakening at Herrnhut, Germany, launches the Moravian Brethren as the forerunner of modern Protestant missionary movements. This 300-member group sent missionaries to Asia, Africa, North and South America, and the Arctic. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Wasn't gonna, but now I've got to. I'm compelled. This is Wretched Radio. Sorry, was going to move on. But I think that this is so helpful for all of us. Was listening to Brad Bigney's Thrive podcast on marriage and parenting. You can find it at fortisplus.org, wherever you do your podcast business. and I was listening to it and being fed. He happened to bring his wife, Vicky, onto the program to talk about the attitude, especially of the newlywed couple, when they enter into marriage, what their expectations are, and how they were so devastated when they first got married. And I was listening to it, and I was just so, it's like, good reminders. Now, we've been married. <laughs> 34 years. And these were excellent reminders. In fact, these reminders, they don't just apply to marriage. They apply to your relationship with your kids, with your coworkers, everything. And that is that marriage and other relationships aren't real. The primary goal of those institutions isn't to make you thrilled. It's to make you holy. It's to grow you. It's to change you. And marriage, perhaps more than any other institution, because of the intimacy of the relationship, you are in the house to get, you share the same bed. This is an intimate relationship. And if you think that that Princess Buttercup is going to be perfect all the time, you're just in for a world of hurt. But when you recognize this institution was made to grow me and to expand me, well, then you get to work together, marching towards Celestial City together, growing in holiness together. That's a little different than this TikTok woman.
And I felt so disrespected and unseen and unvalued at that point in time.
Because he didn't empty the garbage. He didn't take the baby bottle out of the dishwasher. And this was the straw that broke this camel's back.
I remember texting my husband being like, what happened? Like, why didn't you do this? And he said, sorry, I was running late for work. And I remember thinking, he doesn't see me.
By the way, the word sorry. Now, I don't know how he said it. You know, she's just recalling the story. But when you're in a Christian marriage, sorry is enough. It maybe doesn't feel like enough considering what the offense may have been. But when you're in a Christian marriage and somebody says sorry, even when it might not be as heartfelt as you feel that it should be, we accept it. And then we move on. Why? Because that is our responsibility. When your spouse sins or just does something annoying, it is our responsibility to be quick forgivers. Not so with this young lady.
Because what he's done has now made me late for work. And he doesn't care about that. He doesn't care about the impact on me. And he does.
Jimmy, you're beside yourself in there, aren't you?
I really am.
And this is why it's so ironic that she's identifying that her husband is being selfish because everything in her world isn't going the way that she wants.
Exactly.
Which sounds a little selfish. And that, well, this woman is so not unique. So I'm not trying to pile on this lady. She represents millions who have been told everything in the world is about you.
See how every single thing in our home happens because I ask him to do it, or because I do it myself, or because I planned and organized it.
You know, I'm wondering if that's really accurate. Every time I hear always, ever, never, I'm a little suspicious.
Her bag is full because I filled it, right? I put the wipes in there. And I felt so frustrated. And I remember thinking, what's the point?
Wow. Because the dishwasher wasn't empty. I get it. There's more to this story, but I'm not the one who made the video. She did.
What's the point of doing this with someone else? I might as well just do it alone.
That is one way to look at marriage. Here's another way.
Our culture is so based on feeling like once my feelings are gone, then I'm out of here. Yeah. You know, you hear it with country songs, you hear it with movies. This feels so good. That's why I'm here. Yeah. And as soon as it doesn't, I'm out of here. And to be honest, if that's what we would have based our marriage on, we would be divorced right now.
We'd be done.
There's no doubt in my mind.
That is so transparent. How long has, I think Brad's been pastoring for what, 30 years? Married for about the same, and yet willing to say at the jump, if they did not get reoriented to what marriage is supposed to be, they'd be out of here.
Feelings were over. She looked at me and said, I don't love you anymore. And so if we had bought into our culture, then we would have said, well, before this gets any uglier, because we weren't hitting each other and using profanity. I wasn't out of control anger as a guy. Sometimes guys are doing that. I had just quietly shifted towards more work. And ours was a marriage of neglect.
Right.
It wasn't even so much going at each other in ugly, hurtful ways. We would have the same arguments over and over, but it wasn't usually hurtful and didn't get personal. Ours died from neglect. I just abandoned it because I said, I don't know how to do this. I don't know what it is that she's wanting. Mm-hmm. So we're both thankful we did not believe the lie that marriage is only about a feeling. And if the feeling isn't there, get out.
And I'm really grateful that our marriage was based on a commitment before a holy God and to each other, because otherwise we would have been out of there. And I think the fact that we stayed and chose to work through things, which once again, it wasn't hard. It was grueling.
Yes.
If you're young and maybe engaged, you're going to get married, please don't, they're going to address this. Don't let this deter you, because you have no idea how amazing a godly marriage can be. You can't fathom it right now. And here's something else that I think that you might be a little bit, okay, maybe not totally blind to, but your vision is a little fuzzy. You maybe don't think this is the way you think. If you're under the age of 40, it's the way you think, at least in part, because you've been indoctrinated. You have been told over and over again, you. Everything should be pleasing to you. And when it's not, it's toxic, it's narcissistic, cut it off. And you say, well, I reject that mentality. Yes, but it's still entirely possible, if not likely, you still are infected by it.
I mean, I cried so much. You know, I saw so much about myself that I knew I need to work on some areas. And I think once again, I know it perhaps is unusual to people, but I had never, like my parents were wonderful parents. They did correct me. But I think in my mind, I just think I'm a rule follower. You know, go by the rules. Your teachers love you. Your parents love you. It goes well for you. So that was kind of my growing up. Well, then when I never really had many people cross me or tell me things about me that were
so
not helpful.
I would correct you say, hey,
And well, I remember being probably maybe 4 or 5. And my parents, I don't know what had happened. I just remember they had told me something that I didn't like. And I went in my room, shut my door. Maybe I got in a spanking. I don't remember what had happened. And I just thought, I will make them pay so they never want to do this again. And I cried and screamed and I would get the worst headache. I mean, this went on for like 2 or 3 hours. Like, you know, looking bad, they probably should have come.
I will punish them.
Right. I will punish them. Yeah. So
that, by the way, happens in marriage a lot. You wound me, I will cut off your head.
I had not had much correction in my life. And once again, when you get married, this is your closest earthly relationship. And so no big surprise that there's going to need to be some changes, but that had never happened to me before. So this was a new dawning on
for
me.
For someone
that I'm not
close
perfect
to you to speak to you about you in any way
like
other
it
than totally flattering.
Right.
It's like, whoa, shocking.
Right.
And I don't receive this.
I will pout. I will pull away. But this is not
going to
happen.
But I want you to hear this
again.
Since we started with feelings, it's been hard work. But do you feel something for me now?
Oh, absolutely.
Vicky? Yeah. Mm. And same. So I have feelings for Vicky. I kid you not. Not just, well, praise God, there's some feelings now because they put in some hard work. I have feelings for Vicky on a level I never thought possible. On a level that I've never experienced. I've never had a best friend. I've already revealed enough about me that I did not grow up having huge, tight relationships. There are feelings that I have for Vicky, and I've experienced a level of intimacy. And right now I'm talking about something way beyond sex, physical sex in a marriage. I'm talking about intimacy and a relationship and friendship that I'd never tasted before.
Mm. That's lovely. Would you like that? It can happen. It really can. You have more power in your marriage than you think. And here's where the power resides, in humility. Isn't that what Jesus said? That the humble will be exalted. It is the meek and the lowly that he esteems. So when you go down, things tend to go up. God blesses the humble. And when you change, perhaps you're thinking that marriage should be a perfect harmony all the time to, I'm the one who's out of tune. I'm the one that needs to be tuned up and changed and fixed. It'll change everything. And you will see a spouse respond to that. So no matter where your marriage currently is at, I'm telling you, there is power in doing it biblically. This is Wretched Radio.
Marriage and parenting, beautiful gifts from God. But let's be honest, they're not easy. And if you're feeling overwhelmed, if you're wondering if you're doing it right, listen, you're not alone. And more importantly, there's hope. Pastor Brad Bigney understands these challenges. With 36 years of biblical counseling experience and over 3 decades of shepherding his church, he brings you God's timeless wisdom each and every week on Thrive.
To be fully known and truly loved is, well, a lot like being loved by God.
And this isn't just another how-to show. Pastor Brad Bigney and Thrive reveals the truth about your marriage. It's a living picture of Christ's relationship with his church. And your parenting, it's a divine calling to disciple the next generation. As Pastor Brad says, your home wasn't designed to just survive. God created it to thrive. Find Thrive with Brad Bigney right now at FortisPlus.org or all major podcast platforms. You ever notice how Christians sometimes dance around the J word? You know, judging. Yeah, we've gotten so scared of our culture that we're practically doing spiritual gymnastics trying to avoid it. What if I told you that righteous judgment isn't just some outdated concept? It's actually one of God's greatest gifts to protect his flock. That's why I'm fired up about our new resource, Thou Shalt Judge, with Todd Friel and Justin Peters. It's honestly judging how we judge. Listen, if you're tired of watching your loved ones fall for every wind of doctrine that blows through TikTok, this resource could be an answered prayer. 13 powerful lectures that will revolutionize how you view biblical discernment. Plus, because we love you, there's a free study guide included. It's time to stop tiptoeing and start standing firm. Your family and friends need you anchored in God's Word now more than ever. At FortisInstitute.org. That's the Fortis store at FortisInstitute.org. Thou Shalt Judge with Todd Friel and Justin Peters. 25 years. That's a quarter century of standing firm for biblical truth.
This is Wretched Radio.
Through every cultural shift, every challenge, every opportunity to proclaim God's truth, you've been with us. And for that, you're grateful. What started as Wretched Radio has grown into something remarkable. Today, as part of Fortis Institute, we're reaching more believers than ever before. Our daily podcasts and radio shows, video content, and biblical resources continue to strengthen local churches and equip the saints, just as we've done for 25 years. But none of this would be possible without faithful partners like you. You've helped us reach millions with the unchanging truth of God's Word. As we celebrate this milestone, we're reminded that our mission remains the same, serving the King of Kings by strengthening His church. Join us at FortisInstitute.org as we continue this journey together for 25 more years of faithful service.
Until tomorrow, go serve your King.
Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teach us about who he is and what he has done. Jesus is called the cornerstone. When laying a foundation, every stone must be aligned in reference to the cornerstone. God is building his church as a holy temple, and as believers, we are being brought into line with the cornerstone, Jesus Christ. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Now I know what Michael Corleone felt like. This is Wretched Radio. I was going to share something edifying. I was going to share a clip of a testimony from a prisoner so that we could all be encouraged that God is working even behind bars. But no, Jimmy keeps pulling me back in. The TikTok woman kind of has you a little agitated.
A little bit. I mean, the things that she's saying, yeah.
And you've got a prophecy.
I think that if she and or her husband are not saved, because obviously you can clearly tell that's not a Christian marriage, that they're going to wind up getting divorced at some point, because right now he may have done the work to change to make her happy. But as the kids get older, her expectations are going to change.
And here's, you know, another thing that will greet them is when the kids leave the home and it's the two of them. Mm. There's just bigger things than chores. Chores are not insignificant, but there are just bigger things that you want to be working on. And by the way, the empty nesting business, if that's the stage that you're headed toward, you do well to contemplate it now. Think it through. Because as the kids go, I promise you, no matter what shape your marriage and family life is in, it will change. The dynamics, everything shifts from meal preparation to what you do in the evenings, to how many activities you have. All of those things suddenly are radically, they're pieces that get moved around the chessboard of your home. And you're going to have to get some stuff sorted. And if your marriage isn't thriving when you enter into that, get ready. That's why the divorce rate is extremely high for people who have been married for like 30 years. What happened? They've been married for 30 years. Didn't they get that sorted? No, they had kids. It probably became a kid-centric home. They didn't thrive in their relationship with their spouse. And now they're confronted with each other pretty much 24/7. And it ain't going so swimmingly. And so what do? They file papers and out they go. Be ready for it. Now, having said that, be ready for it. Because I'm telling you, it is an amazing season. I absolutely adored having kids. I loved it. In fact, Jimmy, I don't know if I shared this with... Did I tell you we went bowling?
You did.
Albert at Bible Church went bowling. Uh-huh. Did I tell you what I did the entire time?
You watched...
The baby.
That's right.
I did share that. Okay. Sorry. I need to be taking my lion's mane.
You should.
Again. I get to be with the baby. It's like, I'm in like a happy place. Dogs and babies. And I'm just throw me a scrap of bread and I'll be fine because I loved it. But the phase now with the kids being gone, just with my wife, I love it. And it doesn't mean I didn't love that. It's not an either or, it's a both and. It's phenomenal. It is so great to be with my sweetheart all the time, to be with her and do things and to just go and to do and to walk and to spend time together. It is phenomenal. So get ready for it. It's going to require some shifting and some like resorting of things. And you'll have to go through that work. And if your marriage isn't currently thriving because it sounds more like TikTok woman than it does Brad and Vicky, get on it now. You'll be glad you did, because if you don't, your marriage will be in a very precarious position. You done pulling me back in, Jimmy?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Then let's be encouraged, shall we?
And I'm a banger. Now I'm a Christ gang member. I want to be a Christian gang banger. You know what I mean? And all that other stuff, Michael got me killed, got me put in prison for 30 years. You know what I mean? I got 3 more years to go, I'll be home. And I'm going to be lost out there. You know what I mean? I ain't been out there so long, I'll be lost.
I love prison ministries. There are so many fine people that try to help guys like this. If you've never had any experience with somebody who's been incarcerated, perhaps this sounds very strange, or you've maybe just seen this, what this fellow is describing in the movies, that somebody is struggling. You think they've been let out. They should be flying free as a bird. Well, being free as a bird isn't what they know. They're just used to an entirely different system. It's almost like its own little universe. And then to be released into the big world, most are unable to make that transition, which is why the recidivism rate is staggering when it comes to incarceration. That people, they just don't know how to make it work. So if you're a prison ministry, I got to tell you, salute. Keep up the great work. And if your church has, perhaps a prison near it. You got yourself a ministry. You just got to get in there with, through the warden so that you can start helping these men to transition them from incarceration into freedom.
But I met a bunch of good people right here in Harvest Plains, and I think I'm going to try to stay with them, you know, when I get out. They got a little halfway house thing going on. Brother Kevin and Danny, Arch, Pastor B, good people. And I'm going to surround myself with good people. Because if I don't, I know what I'm, I know what the devil's going to do. Same thing he did last time. Pull me right back in that gutter. And I'm out the gutter. I don't want to go back in the gutter. Mm. Jesus pulled me through it several times. Because I don't know how much time. I'm 56 years old. I don't know how much time I got left to live. And probably if I wouldn't have been in prison, I'd have been dead a long time ago. Because he changed me. He could change anybody. Mm. I just hope I could talk to some people when I get out to help change them from going the route I went. But I'm glad I'm here because God put me here for a reason, to get me right. And I thank him every day for it. If I got to stay here the rest of my life getting me right, I'll be here. Because I'm going to get right before I get back out there. Every time I'm in class, I'm taking that the glorious gospel, Paul Washer's workbook, and I got all that in there.
That's Paul Washer's book. These are from Heart Crime Ministries. They went into a prison and they heard these testimonies. They recorded them so that we could be edified.
Every one of them. And I wrote this down a long time ago, but while back, and then there it is. That is. The one that just goes on and on and on and on about Paul Washer, the divine dilemma, the bore our sin, Jesus bore our sin, took the sin away from us and all that. Every time I think about what he did for me, it hurts me, bro.
Got to tell you, that right there is a greater articulation of the gospel than most people who are participating in so many seeker-friendly mega churches. They don't talk about sin. They don't talk about justification. They don't talk about propitiation. They talk about virtually anything but Paul Washer's curriculum from Heart Cry Ministries. Yeah, it's on point.
Because I've done so much dirt and guilt, and this man died for me. And I'm just really realizing what he done for me, you know what I'm saying? And it breaks me down every time, man. It really does. Because I was nothing but a ratchet sinner, bro. And I was doomed. I was hit. I'm going to hell. If I didn't know Jesus, I'm going to hell.
You're going to be seeing this guy in heaven. Not sure that he's going to have his tattoos on his face, but you're going to be seeing this guy in heaven. Guy who's been in jail for 30 years is found by Jesus Christ behind bars.
And everybody else is too. And I try to tell them all. I look around, there's only a bunch of dead bodies everywhere. Mm. And I'm trying to tell them, man, no God, bro, get with Jesus, bro, come to class with me, go to church with me. They look at me like, man, you trying to get me to go to church? Yes, I am. Things change when you're with the Lord, man. He changes your heart. Because I wouldn't have been sitting here crying right like I am now for the Lord. It didn't even matter to me back then. I didn't care. But now to sit here and know what he really did for me, how could I not?
Mm-hmm. How can you not be an ambassador for the king who saves the servants? No, the rebels. This guy is another testimony. I'm telling you, I feel strongly. I can't tell you definitively, but I feel strongly. You're going to be hearing testimonies in heaven for eternity. Oh, wait, he what? And you are who? And he saved. Wow. Tell me the deets. And we do well to do that. If you sometimes wonder, you know, how do I get into a conversation with somebody about spiritual things? Be church members. Ask them for their testimony. Ask them to share what God did to save them. How did you come to faith in Jesus? And I'm telling you, you listen, you'll be edified. And until tomorrow, go serve your King.